Bible this morning. Look at 1 Kings chapter number 17 this morning is where you'll find our text, 1 Kings chapter 17. I want to, you don't have to turn with me this morning if you don't want to, I want to read the passage of scripture as background to the life of Elijah. James chapter number 5, verse number 16 says this, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. It rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain. The earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. 1 Kings chapter number 17 this morning. Again, our reading in verse number 8. I'll ask you to stand in reverence to the reading of hearing the word of the Lord this morning. 1 Kings chapter number 17, verse number 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks, and called to her, said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. Behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat it and die. Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said. But make me therefore a little cake first and bring it unto me. And after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Brother Eddie Taylor, will you pray for us this morning?
Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you again, Lord, for the opportunity and the privilege of being in your house. Lord, we thank you, Brother Luke, Lord, I pray you would touch him. Lord, I pray you'd use him, you'd give him the liberty to preach that you've placed on his heart. Lord, help us all that we would take and use it. Lord, as we leave this place, that we would be a light and witness before a lost and dying world. We just ask again, Lord, for the service today. Help us for just a little while to clear our hearts and minds, Lord, and focus on you and what you have for us. All these things I ask in the lovely name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you. You can be seated. This morning, if we're in our text, 1 Kings 17. Verse number 8 through verse number 16. Disobedience of any kind requires discipline. The nation of Israel has, at this point in our text, where we come to this passage of Scripture, has rebelled against God by aligning their affections toward the pagan god Baal. So Elijah, burdened by their turning away, turns himself toward the God of heaven in prayer. As I read to you this morning in James chapter 5, verses 17 through 18, he prays seeking the restoration of obedience and dependency of his nation upon the God of heaven. In the midst of their national disobedience, and in the middle of God's sovereign discipline, James chapter 5 presents to us this prophet's duty, praying for his nation, praying that his nation would turn their eyes and their heart back toward the God of heaven. His prayer, if you will, mirrored God's will, a prayer for discipline. I want to make mention this morning that prayer is not, if you will, it is not getting man's will accomplished in heaven. But praying this evening, if you will, is that God's will would be done on the earth. That's prayer. Elijah prayed, as one writer stated, he prayed in his prayers. It wasn't done with religious terminology. Elijah didn't pray for, if you will, social flattery. He didn't pray with vain reputation. Elijah put his heart and his mind into seeking the face and the will of God for himself and for the nation of Israel. Unannounced of his coming, uninvited to the commencement of false worship, we find the prophet in chapter number 17, as it were, unbridled in his confidence, and unbridled in the confidence of the living God in a sure spoken word. That's what I want to try to preach on this morning, if the Lord would help me, on a sure word in scarce times. A sure word in scarce times. This sure word, if you will, that God has put on the heart of Elijah has no variation, has no shadow of turning. It does not fade away. But when God puts that word in the heart of Elijah, Elijah never forgets that word. There are four principles this morning that I believe in this incident in the life of Elijah that are presented to us of how we can be sure of God's Word in scarce times. It has been mentioned this morning in Sunday school. It was mentioned this morning by the brother how people are going through things. Whoa! Right after another. And I'll be honest with you, Brother Tony, I'm sick of people suffering. I'm tired of people going through things. I'm thankful that I've got a sure word in scarce times. Thankful that I don't have the answer. I'm glad the same thing that God allowed you through is the same thing that I've been made you through in these scarce times. Tired of hearing about preachers messing up. Tired of hearing about families falling apart. But I'm going to tell you, I'm glad God's grace was sufficient then. God's grace is sufficient this morning. Now, understand that God calls Elijah to go to a place called Zarephath. The Hebrew word for Zarephath means refining. Speaks of a place of purification, a place where Elijah, something's got to be polished. I'm just like you this morning. I don't like hearing about people going through the fire. I don't feel here like to hear about people that have to go through a place in their life of purification. God tells Elijah, go to Zarephath. That word Sidon is a Hebrew word simply meaning to hunt. But when you look up that word Sidon, it's used in the sense of catching fish. Therefore, that gives us the indication that this place was located along the Mediterranean Sea. But it's a place where in the midst of the fire, God says, I want to do a little bit of hunt. Elijah, we're going to go catch some fish. Well, notice where Elijah comes to. The Lord spake unto Elijah, says, get thee to Zarephath, to Zidon, and to one little widow woman to feed thee there to sustain thee. So he arose, it's his Gentile country, by the way. So he arose with the Zarephath when he came to the gate of the city. Oh, the widow woman was there gathering up sticks. She called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Elijah done told the king it's not going to rain. Till God says it's going to rain. I want you to notice the lofty request that pierced a conflicted heart. The lofty request that pierced a conflicted heart. Comes, if you will, this lofty request comes to her threshold. He's at the gate of the city. He's right outside the threshold of where she is, where he's supposed to be. There's times in my life, Brother Tony, I feel like, man, I'm just so close. God is so close. God, get ready to break through, son. So close, it feels like in my spirit, God is getting ready to do some things that I pray for. Then all of a sudden, there's a request at her threshold. He says, I thirst. In the midst of a drought, share with me your water. Now, I don't know how you would feel, but in the midst of a drought, in the midst of my problems, in the midst of my difficulties, someone comes to me very selflessly and says, listen, how long do you need some water? Can you give me some water? Search, seems like. The thirst. But then he goes on in verse number 11 and he's concerned about his tummy. Verse number 11 says, I pray thee a morsel, bring me a morsel of bread in thine hand. He's at the threshold of where he's supposed to be, where God has sent him to be. And he shows up, don't know this woman, never met her, never talked to her. I need some water, and I need something for my tummy. Because I'm hungry. Someone comes up to me in the middle of drought, and they say, brother, we need some water, we need some bread. I'll be honest with you, my flesh would tell them, go jump in a lake. Take a hike, friend. That's not the case. But it begins, I believe, Brother Tony begins to start to stir something in her heart. That God has taken just these little requests at the man of God and of her. And it begins to stir something in her heart. Verse number 12, the Bible says, and she said, notice the phrasing. As the Lord thy God lives, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and rest it for me and my son, that we may eat and die. A lofty request that pierces and heart conflicted, led to revealing limited resources that prompted an honest confession. An honest confession. You realize when you're going to get honest is when your resources start to get low. I heard a preacher tell me years ago, and I don't mean all disrespectful, but he told me, he said, brother, there's going to come times in your life. He said, there's going to come days in your life that it seems like you lose everything you've got to realize that He is all you need. Brother Tony, it's amazing. Years later, how much I have to find out that when I almost lost everything that I had, by not even being my choice, I realized that God was all that I needed. And I'm telling you, don't wait for your resources to get low before you get honest with God. God already knows. But Tony, I'm no love doctor. I'm no Dr. Phil. I've not been licensed for marital counseling. That's not my lot in life, thank the Lord. Brother Tony, remember years and years ago, I had a young man come up to me and he says, Preacher Luke, he says, I'm seeing this girl and she is absolutely beautiful. I said, congratulations. He said, she's beautiful. But the problem is she likes to drink a little and smoke a little and party a little. And she likes to do all these things. Let me just say, I know that people do those things in a lost state. They do things when the lost ought not be doing. And if you ever get hurt, I know if you ever get hurt, and you ever walk away from the perfect will of God for your life, you gotta be careful. You might end up doing things you thought you'd never do yourself. Let me say this. He said, brother, now, I have no kids. I have no wife. He said, brother, what I need to do? I said, brother, I'm gonna tell you the same thing that the old timers told me. They'll convert you in their state before you ever convert them. You better be careful. You say, a lot of this stuff that I hear preached and a lot of this stuff that I heard sung about, it's just old-fashioned. It's just outdated. But I'm just telling you the thing about it is that the Word of God is simply out of practice. If we got back to doing things God's way, how much better things would be. If men would just preach this book, if they just preach this book, you know how much better their churches would be, the atmospheres would be. You say, preacher, they're afraid to make people mad. If preaching Jesus makes you mad, you've got deeper problems than what the preacher can fix. Limited resources prompted her to give an honest confession. Let me say this. Don't wait till everything in your life falls apart before you ever get honest with Him. I'm going to run a rabbit real quick. Had a young lady in our church. She came. Brother told me. She says, listen, this is what I need y'all to pray for. She says, I want to pray that God will move me back home. Give me a good job. Help me get back to the church. I want to be faithful to the church. I want to get concrete. I want to get faithful in. I want to be active in the church. So what happened? God's people begin to answer prayer. And then all of a sudden she gets back home, Brother Tony. She's nowhere to be found. Nowhere to be found. Do me a favor. If you're going to make a mockery of Him, don't serve Him at all. Don't let His lips come out of your mouth. Because I'm going to tell you, He's precious. He's precious.
He's precious. And we ought to be very careful how we use Him. He's not some fly by night. I'm going to use Him when I get in trouble. He's there for us. Closer than a brother, Brother Coffee, for the same with us. Day in and day out. What the Lord, what our problems are. But all of us just want to have good fellowship with us. Won't you notice here what the man of God says in verse 13 through 14. Logic relayed that preceded a hopeful conclusion. This is what he says. Verse number 13, Elijah said unto her, I know that your idea and your heart is you're getting ready to go and die. That's where you think that as far as you can go with this thing. Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go, do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first. Make for me a little cake first and bring it unto me. And after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste. Neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sends its rain upon the earth. What does Elijah tell her? You know that my resources is limited. And if nothing happens, devastation is cut. Elijah says, fear not. Trust Him. There's things that some of you have been praying about for years. There's some of you that have had things on your heart, you've prayed, you might have even lost sleep about it. Trust Him. Trust Him. Brother Luke, you have no idea how hard it is to be patient. Oh yeah. I'm the least patient that you'll find. Trust Him. Trust Him. You can trust Him because He's true. How do I know that He's true? Because the man of God said He's true. It's been tried. Listen to what He says. Neither shall the meal not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail. He says if you want to trust Him, try and see if He's true. If you really want to find out that what He says, that He'll do what He says He'll do, try. Notice this in verse 14. Neither shall the crucible fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Time. You know what our biggest problem is, Brother Tony? I think that we let time. I think we rush time more than time rushes us. And He's not saying God's not going to send the rain. He's just wanting to test them and see will you trust Him until He sends the rain. Will you just try and see if He's true and He's faithful till He sends the rain. This is what He says in verse number 9 through 14 and 16. There are legitimate reasons this morning that are practical for you and I to be honorable in our commitment. Practical reasons. All the things Elijah comes to her, Bible says the most beautiful words, I think, Brother Tony, in the Bible, throughout the Old Testament, is that the word of the Lord came. When He comes and He says, here's all these situations, here's they're looking for a man of God to step up, they're looking for an answer. All of a sudden you come across the verse, and the Bible says the word of the Lord came. I'm thankful for time when my preacher didn't have an answer, when mom and dad didn't have an answer, that the Lord came. Word trust Him. All I can trust Him is His Word. Because it's been tested. It's been found true. Notice what He says. Notice what He says. Verse number 16, the barrel of meal wasted not. Neither did the cruse of oil fail. Why did it not fail? According to the word of the Lord. If she'd have went dry, if everything would have been emptied out, it'd have made God a liar. I will tell you, God ain't never lied to Elijah. Look back. I know that some of us in our 30s, in our 20s, we've heard stories from our mamas and our daddies, our grandmas and our grandpas about how God has intervened many times on their behalf. And I tell you, my generation this morning, if He'll do it for our mamas and daddies, He can still do it for you and for me. Preacher, you don't know where my heart is. You don't know how broken my heart is. Trust Him. You say, what got mom and daddy through? The word of the Lord. What gets my preachers through? The word of the Lord. Every good blade. One of my favorite shows is That Boy's in the Fire, Brother Tony. Every good blade that goes through the forge with constant pounding and endless heating, precise shaping, endures with hope that there will be found no fault in that blade. Through the forge of the family, her fault was found. He was not her God, but only Elijah's. Too many of the dross of her, too many times we find that the dross of our character is overshadowed by the drought in our communities. She needed something true. She needed something tested. She needed something timeless in her life. But it's only she needed something sure. Brother, will you and your family come sing the song this morning's invitation? I want to give you this quote this morning. Brother Watchman Nee said this, because of our promise to look at the bucket and forget the fountain, God has to frequently change His means of supply to keep our eyes fixed on the source. I want to read it to you again. Because of our promise to look at the bucket and forget the fountain, God has to frequently change His means of supply to keep our eyes fixed on the source. What do you need this morning from the Lord? You say, preacher, been praying for some things for a long time and God's not answered. Trust Him. Trust Him.